He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more
time. He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heel.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
What have we here? Welcome in to The Drive with Josh Graham. Only here's the funny piece of this. I ain't Josh Graham. This is WD, Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show. And this is kind of weird. I'm not used to being over on the other side of the glass like this. I'm joined by none other than Connor O'Neill, publisher, Deacons and Devils Illustrated. Connor, sup?
WD, it feels like... Feels like we got a substitute teacher in here.
Yeah, the cool one, right?
Let's just let loose.
Uh-huh. The better looking, cooler one. And then I'm joined by Jeffrey Griffin, the host of Triad Today on none other than WSJS 70
AM. Leave me alone. I'm pushing buttons. I'm busy. Bye.
Yeah, he's trying to figure it out over there. I'm trying to figure it out over here. But I do really appreciate everybody tuning in. I'm going to try and keep the train on the tracks here. And... it's a new era now for the Carolina Panthers as we heard the bells and chimes last night. Now, we're probably not going to hear our usual sound effects today because I think Jeffrey needs to make sure my mic stays on. How about that?
I got no memo about bells, chimes.
So you won't hear probably Armando.
Auxiliary sound effects.
You won't hear that today. You won't hear Boston College today.
See, I didn't even want to hear it. In the
original time.
I didn't want to hear that.
Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's not a good thing. I don't know. You be the judge. But it is a new era for the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young, as we kind of suspected, was the pick. Spoiler alert. And this is kind of weird. Like, the Panthers, they actually feel like a competent organization now. I don't know how to take this. I don't know what to do with my hands. Movie. No. Is that a movie reference?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Look at me making a movie reference without Josh in the building. How about that?
It must be the chair.
Very proud.
It's the chair.
Very proud.
Thank you, everybody. I hope he's listening right now, but he's probably not. I don't know. He probably is. But no, like, everything, it feels so smooth. It feels like things are clicking now. And you could kind of see the foundation of this new chapter, or this new page, or whatever you want to call it. You could kind of start to see it be started really after Matt Rhule was fired, kind of, because when that happened, like, everything just kind of felt bleh. Like, how closely have you been following this situation, Connor?
I follow the Panthers probably more than any other NFL franchise just because I'm in the state. And,
right.
You know, it's gotten to the point where it's unavoidable on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. It is that.
If I'm driving around and tuning into the drive, Josh is usually talking about the Panthers. So it's something I've heard a lot about. It's a team that I don't hold close to the heart.
Sure. Like the Orioles, right?
Yeah, Josh and I have talked about this. I have two favorite teams. Mm-hmm. I have the Orioles and I have the Capitals.
And he's Orioles Canes.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But, you know, I pay attention to him, and the Matt Rhule hiring was a bad hire from the start.
Way too much money. Way too many years.
Yep.
All just to keep him from going to New York, essentially. They ate meatballs, apparently. At least that's what Josh always says about it.
So now, you know, I'm hopeful that they're good because, like, Josh has sold me on caring about the Panthers. You're, I believe, a Panthers fan.
I am a Panther fan. I was excited last night.
I always say that one of two things happens. Fans of teams either push you into rooting for their teams. Like, if you're a neutral observer, they either make you want their teams to win, or it goes the complete opposite direction. You just want their team to lose all the time.
Right.
And with most of the Panthers fans in my life, like, I want them to be happy. It's not a franchise that is overly proud. It's not, you know, arrogance does not come off for most Panthers fans.
No, they're not Philly or anything like that. But
so it's a team that, you know, when I see them make smart decisions, like bringing in Frank Reich, Jim Caldwell, who's the OC that they brought in, who's really sharp.
Thomas Brown.
Yeah,
I think.
Thomas Brown.
I think that's the name.
When I see them, and then picking Bryce Young is the right pick at number one overall. It kind of makes me happy for him. Like, I can get juiced up a bit for that.
Absolutely. And we do want Panther fans to be happy. And they haven't been happy for a while now, which is where we'll get to in a second. But first of all, he's early. He's the first one of the day. I got to meet him in person, or I've met him before in person, but I got to see him in person for the second time last night. Dave and Clemens, where you at?
WD, what's happening? Up, man? How are you, man? I feel like I've watched you grown up over the last year, and here you are, and hopefully we can do the same thing with our new quarterback, Bryce Young, man. I just want to give a shout-out how great last night was, not only drafting our franchise quarterback, but the time that we had, man. All of us together, I got to meet some friends last night that I haven't met that always call in
so
on the
good.
Show, and I feel like everybody's becoming my brothers, and I can't tell you about last night and how great it was. And if the Panthers keep rocking and rolling with this quarterback, I feel like we're going to have more watch parties, more bigger games to do this at. And I just can't thank y'all enough for everything.
Dave, really appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call. It was so cool to see you last night, and we saw the Graham Crackers last night at our NFL draft watch party last night. Where were you at, Connor? Where were you at, Jeffrey? Neither one of you were out there.
I defer to Connor. It's his turn to come up with a story. I don't know.
I should have spoke first and deferred to Jeffrey.
Well, at least Jeffrey, he gets up at whatever
dark
o'clock.
Dark o'clock. I watched the first three picks and went, my goodness, that was exciting.
That's right.
And then I dozed back off.
Houston, jeez. Stroud and Will Anderson.
When you know, you know.
You ain't that the truth. And the Panthers know. And they apparently, it sounds like they've known for a while now it was going to be Bryce Young, which I think we kind of figured that much.
See.
Or did you not?
The person sitting in that chair, I think, like a month ago, was trying to tell everybody it was going to be CJ Stroud, right?
Yeah, he was kind of trying to do that.
And
I was saying Bryce Young.
He walked it back. Credit to him. He walked it back.
He listened to some other sources. You know, we had Daniel Jeremiah on here.
It's good to listen every now and then.
It is. And Daniel Jeremiah was talking about how, like, you know, because Frank Reich, he tends to go for the bigger quarterbacks, like a CJ Stroud or an Anthony Richardson. But, I just said but like Josh, but he does that too. That's not good that I'm picking up his habits.
I'm telling you, it's a chair.
It's bad. We might need a switch, but then it's going to be your problem. But Daniel Jeremiah came on, lead draft analyst for NFL Network, and he was saying, well, Frank Reich has never had an undersized quarterback before. And he kind of compared it to a food on a menu, like, well, how do you know unless you've tried it? And I think Bryce Young, and I think Josh pointed this out too, he's kind of an outlier. He just, his intangibles, I mean, Scott Fitterer's been gushing about all his intangibles, and he's right. Like, he feels the most ready. He feels like the quarterback of the bunch that could literally just, to quote Scott Fitterer again, be dropped right in to a system and be ready to go. But no, it is a new era for the Panthers. They've botched the quarterback position for, it seems like, 5 or 6 years now, ever since they got rid of Cam Newton. A little bit late too, I might add.
I've really enjoyed calling it quarterback roulette. It's just like,
yeah,
it's just like David Tepper has been spinning the wheel.
It has.
Let's see where it lands. Let's see if we can stumble into a franchise quarterback. So in that regard, yeah, I was thrilled that they traded for the number one pick, because you know you need to get that position right, and then mm-hmm. you can fill out the rest of your roster. They've got some pieces on the roster.
They kind of went backwards this time. Like, they kind of got, like, the coaching staff. They got Thielen. They got Hurst at tight end. They got DJ Chark, another receiver. Miles Sanders at running back. And they kind of just got everything ready and just, boop, drop Bryce Young, an excellent quarterback, right in there. Like, he's not going to have to try and pull a Trevor Lawrence with Urban Meyer or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what they've done. Again, I have no dog in the fight. I voted for Bryce Young for the Heisman 2 years ago. That's always... It's not quite a Biletnikoff Award vote, but it was a Heisman vote.
Yeah. See, you got a Heisman vote. I don't have to hear that every 2 seconds. Biletnikoff vote. Anyway. Speaking of quarterback roulette, they have had... Do you know how many quarterbacks the Panthers have had since, I guess, 2019-ish?
842.
It's close. It's close. 7.
In the ballpark.
I mean, if you want to get really... And I kind of went deep cut, I guess, maybe for dramatic effect. I don't know. This is my first time at this, so I need a little bit of pizzazz, a little extra. If you really want to go deep cut, we could say Kyle Allen was the first one when Cam Newton went down, and then, that.
Oh, man, what a magical 3 weeks, though, when we thought Kyle Allen was the quarterback of the future.
Yeah. Isn't it fun to look back at stuff like that, and now we're sitting here with Bryce Young?
I was just telling somebody this earlier today. I love the historical retrospective, the immediate, like not looking at stuff 30 years ago and saying, well, if we'd only known this. It's like looking at 3 years ago and saying, man, that was pretty dumb.
Yeah, it is. Like
the Kyle Allen like month of hysteria was pretty dumb.
They went Kyle Allen, then it was Teddy Bridgewater, Two Glove Teddy. They went Sam Darnold, Cam Newton Part 2. I was on the hype train for that one, though. I got to admit. Baker Mayfield.
Oh, God.
That really worked out well. P.J. Walker stepped in.
P.J.
And then, I mean, he didn't start or anything, but, I mean, they did draft a quarterback last year, Matt Corral, who also wears number 9.
All right, I think all the levels are set.
Showtime.
Now?
Right now. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
All right. We're going to the movies yet again. This is a lot of movies for me. 2 in a week? What is this?
You get credit. Is this credit transferred to next week?
Absolutely
and
not.
Have to do one?
No shot. No shot.
So, I tried.
Well, I appreciate the effort, but don't waste your breath. At the movies, we're going to do it again. I watched Dead Poets Society. It's one of Jeffrey Griffin's favorite movies. Let's get into it.
Unless you're talking about Star Wars,
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Movies aren't exactly Will's thing.
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine!
But that's about to change because Josh can't stand it anymore. This is At the Movies with Will Dalton.
So, listen. We're just going to have a little discussion about this movie. Like usually the way we do it is Josh asks, what did you like about it? What did you not like about it? Give me a quote and a rating and all that. Well, he's not here, so we're going to mix it up a little bit today and just kind of...
What did you like about it?
Oh, thank you. So, this movie, it was a good movie, but it wasn't my style. Like, I could tell when the bagpipes started playing at the very beginning, I'm like, oh, geez, what is this? I'm like, what am I watching? I mean, I gave it a chance. I'm like, you never know. But it's like, they're set. I'm going to do my best to describe this movie. What I liked about it, what was good about it, the ending parts were really good, really, you know, kind of pulled at you a little bit. It's really sad. It's kind of sad because, I mean, I forget all the characters' names because I'm bad at movies. Good but time. The guy that killed himself. Yeah. Because
Spoiler alert. Yeah,
the movie came out in 1989, so I'm not sorry about that. But I liked Robin Williams scenes.
Sure.
I know that all my favorite scenes of the movie were the ones with Robin Williams in it. I don't remember his character's name.
John Keating.
Thank you.
I've got IMDb pulled up.
I've got an assistant.
I'm cheating
now.
A little bit.
That's all right. You know, still talking about the same person though. I like the fact that Red from That 70s Show was in it. I told you, I'm a TV show guy. I'm not movies. That 70s Show. Now, I turned out not liking his character a little bit because he was the mean one that, you know, kind of was the reason his son committed suicide. Spoiler again. You know, because his dad wanted him to be a doctor or a lawyer or something.
Right.
It's your favorite movie, Jeffrey, so you can help me
out. It's one of mine. It's one of my top five.
But the son wanted to be an actor.
Sure.
And he was really good at it. And
so
he.
What's the lesson here?
Well, the lesson is. The lesson is you should do what makes you happy. And, like, if you're a parent, like, I get, like, and I listen, I'm not a parent, so. I'm not going to put any stakes in the ground here, but if I was, I would be more concerned about my kid being happy with what he's doing than forcing him to do something that he has no interest in doing or maybe even hates to do because of my ego.
Sure. I think the part of it, and I agree, you're on the right track. It's if you genuinely, not to quote that old 70s poster that was in everybody's classroom, right?
Uh-huh.
But if you do love somebody or something, then you set them free.
Correct.
To be who they are.
Yes.
To be what they feel and what they hope for and that for to which they aspire. And then it will come full circle. But that love is unconditional. It should not be predicated on, did you get an A or a B? Did you pick this school or that school? Did you pick the wrong career or the right career? So it's one of those.
And that was the lesson to be learned there at the end. What did I not like about the movie? It just, I don't know, like, again, the bagpipes, like, it just, it set the tone. I didn't like that school they were at. They were so mean.
It's an elite prep school.
Yeah, there was a little too many guys there. Like, they needed some girls to come in.
It was a boys elite prep school.
I don't care for that. Like, I don't. Like, if I can go there, like, this movie was a little bit too many guys. Not enough.
All boys schools do exist.
Until that magazine came out. You know what I'm talking about. When they were reading the poems one of those times in the cave and the guy unfolded it and it was the back of the magazine.
Right.
That was all right.
I'm glad you enjoyed that moment.
I did. The party scene was interesting when... Yes. Again, don't remember the character's name, but when he was at the party and the girl that he had a crush on was asleep in his lap and he tried to make a move on her, I'm like, that would never work. And then she ends up liking him. That wouldn't work in real life. They chased her down with flowers the next day. Like, girls run from the hills, that guys that do that.
You never chased a girl with flowers?
Yeah, when I was young and naive.
You never
I don't do it anymore.
Confessed how you really felt and...
Sure, I
made a plea for devotion and an innocent love.
No, I don't. Yes, I've expressed how I felt to a girl before, but I've not done all that.
Did it work out for you?
Sometimes it did. Yeah. If I would have done something like what he did, it wouldn't have worked out.
Then you were chasing the wrong girl.
Fair enough. And it was sad. Like, again, like the ending was just very sad. And like the scene where he did kill himself, like it happened kind of fast. Like, just 180. Like, his dad brought him home because he's like, you're going to do this, and then just boom, done.
Well, that may have been simply a matter of editing for time. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, it was getting close to the end of it. I'm trying to think of a quote that I really like because Josh usually wants a quote. Do you have a specific quote you like from this movie, Jeffrey?
No.
Oh, you don't? Hmm.
There are two right answers.
Oh, well, Connor's got one. I'd love to hear. I'll give you one of mine.
You already said one.
I did?
Like two segments ago.
What did I say?
Oh, my captain?
Well, of course.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
But you know what else I like? Rip it! Rip it out! When they were ripping the pages out of the books?
I don't remember. Oh, when maybe
they,
I remember
They
that.
Were ripping them out, and okay. He just kept repeating, rip them! Rip it out! It's funny.
And Connor's favorite quote?
Yeah, what was the other one of the two?
Oh, definitely Carpe Diem. Seize the day, boys.
Yeah, because every once in a while, Josh will give me these movies and be like, oh, yeah, that's what that meme came from. You're welcome. Or that's what that quote comes from. You're welcome. Carpe Diem. And I was like, ah, seize the day.
I've got a YouTube playlist of like 40-some. It's titled Get the Bleep Up. I watch them to get out of bed.
Yeah.
And Carpe Diem, that scene is one of them.
Wow. Huh. That's interesting. I might have to look into that.
Good stuff.
I don't know.
Do you feel more well-rounded now that you've seen it?
I can't say that I do. I felt a little depressed by the ending. Oh, yeah. Also, like, so when Mr. What's his name?
Keating.
When Mr. Keating, at the very end, when, like, they all stand up on the table.
Yes.
And they're saying, Captain, my captain. When he's basically, you know, being fired, I guess.
Right.
Well, he still got fired. Like, it was a happy ending and everything. They saluted him, but he still had to leave.
No, it's not. It doesn't have to be happy. He made a difference in the lives of those young men.
This wasn't a Disney movie. You're out here trying to make it happy, and this is a real life movie.
And he's going to return now to England. That's what I always envisioned.
Is there
going to
be a sequel?
To a woman that loves him dearly and has been waiting for him to return. So it all turns out well for Mr. Keating.
And that's been At the Movies with me. Yeah. This is so weird. I'm just telling you it is. I really appreciate everybody for hanging with us today. I really do. It's already been an hour. Yeah. And Connor, like, Josh always says, like, when Connor's here, the time just melts. It really does. So
I enjoy bouncing over here from, you know, 12 minutes away in K-Vegas.
Oh, yeah. So Connor's about to get out of here, and we're going to get to the big four in just a minute. That's what I typically do. So Wake Baseball, what's the latest on that?
Wake Baseball is a machine right now. 35-6. They're off from the ACC this weekend. They have games. They play Wofford tomorrow at 4 and High Point on Sunday at 5, I believe.
That's right. And well, and I was asking you this over the break because we were looking at the rankings. LSU, they're still number one, which I don't...
I think LSU is not number one in the SEC, but they're number one in the rankings, and it looks like unless they get swept by somebody, it looks like it's going to stay that way all year.
Right. I mean, currently in the overall record, LSU, they're 32-7, Wake's 34-6. So it's like a breath away.
Yeah, with college baseball, there's no real benefit to being one or two. Like, as long as you're a top eight,
yeah,
then
you're good.
You get the regionals at home, you get super regionals at home, and then everybody goes to Omaha.
Right.
And you're just thrown into a pot in Omaha.
And it sounds like Campbell's probably going to get one.
Campbell sounds like they're going to get a regional seed. Duke is now up there in the running. Did we find out where ECU is in there?
ECU, at the moment, they're number 12. They're number 12. Guess who's number 11? Come on now.
Oh, I know who's number 11. We don't have to say it.
Yeah. Boston College. Connor,
we don't have to say it. I said we don't have to say it.
We don't, but I still wanted to. Connor, I appreciate you coming in here with me for an hour.
It was a pleasure.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
You know, it only felt right that my first day hosting a show of any kind, this was the guy I had to have on. David Glenn, former host of The David Glenn Show. You can read his stuff right now at chapelboro.com. He's a founding editor of accsports.com. He teaches at UNC Wilmington. He's got a background in law. He does everything. And he's got a good taste of beer, too. DJ, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Will. I'm excited to be with you anytime, but especially for a special occasion like this. Congratulations. I hope your show is going well, and I hope to contribute to it.
It is. We're trying to keep the train on the track.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because, like, my first show here at WSJS that I produced, you were filling in for Josh, who was at the Final Four. And now the first one I'm hosting, it's the day after the Panthers, have the number one pick in the draft, and it seems has their new franchise guy, and I had to get you on. I did want to get your immediate reaction. I mean, Bryce Young, he's the guy. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, as somebody who has been following the Carolina Panthers literally since they were born as the NFL franchise here in our backyard, I know that the fans of that franchise, and really the fans of any franchise in the NFL that don't have faith at the quarterback position, are in a really ugly position, right? And the last full season that the Carolina Panthers had truly competent quarterback play was 2017, mm-hmm. and for the full season. And guess what? That's the last time they made the playoffs as well. So I endorse the selection of Bryce Young. He's a Heisman Trophy winner for a reason. He plays winning football for a winning program. You know, Drew Brees and Russell Wilson and other shorter quarterbacks have done just fine despite their height. I know the questions about Bryce Young. But, man, if I were a Panthers fan today and I know I have Bryce Young, I don't know if he's going to be great, but I think he will at least be good and maybe great. Whereas if I'm an Indianapolis Colts fan, and I have Anthony Richardson of Florida, I don't know if my new guy is going to be great, horrible, or somewhere in between. So in that sense, I'd rather be a Panthers fan today than a Colts fan and really, you know, most of these others that were seeking quarterbacks but didn't get Bryce Young.
Well, and that's one thing that I was thinking about when I was prepping for this was, I mean, the Panthers, they've had like I counted like 5 to 7 different quarterbacks that they've gone through since they, yeah. you know, lost or got rid of Cam Newton. And I feel like even though I think most people thought that, you know, Tepper and Scott Fitter and those guys knew it was going to be Bryce Young, they were still very thorough. They went to all the pro days. They did all the dinners for the most part. And I mean, would you say that's probably why they were still this thorough about it? So they knew they had to get it right this time.
Hey, man, you know, in our lives, there are only so many enormous decisions, right? I mean, are you going to have children or not? Whom are you going to marry if you get married? And I say that as I'm only a few days away from my 25th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
With the lovely and talented Maria.
Yeah.
So thank you. But there's a short list of the biggest decisions you can possibly make in life. Well, guess what? If you're an NFL franchise and you have the number one overall pick and you need a quarterback, if you don't do the most thorough, we call it due diligence in the legal world, if you don't do the most thorough due diligence on the candidates, of course, not just Bryce Young, but take a look at C.J. Stroud, take a look at Anthony Richardson, take a look at all the rest. There is no more important decision that you make as an NFL general manager than finding the right quarterback in a general sense. And there's no more important pick you make specifically than when you need a quarterback and you have number one overall. So I'm not surprised David Tepper was involved. He's a hands-on owner in some ways. He has been demanding excellence from this franchise since he bought it, and he hasn't seen that yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if they talked to Bryce Young's, you know, high school coaches and, you know, neighbors when he was growing up, because that's the level of scrutiny that you're under when you're going to be a first-round pick generally, but also certainly if you're going to be the number one overall pick.
Now, on the flip side, you know, we've been talking about Bryce Young and how he went number one. Were you surprised to see Will Levis fall out of the first round?
A little bit. But you know how it only takes one team to fall in love with you, that old saying? I think the reality is, you know, the Panthers wanted a quarterback and they got theirs. As it turned out, the Texans wanted a quarterback, and they got theirs in C.J. Stroud. The Colts clearly wanted a quarterback, and they got theirs in Anthony Richardson. There were not a long list of other teams that had quarterback as their top priority. So once those guys all went in, what, three of the top four picks,
yeah,
a lot of these other teams, you know, had other needs to fill. And the other reason that I'm not shocked is that most general managers will tell you that one of the biggest mistakes you can make as a talent evaluator is sort of trying to squeeze the square peg into the round hole. Meaning, if you know you need a quarterback, but the ones you had with a first-round grade have already been taken, it is not smart to just reach for a quarterback unless you had that guy, you know, ranked as a first-rounder. So I don't think Levis was that for the teams that wanted quarterbacks. And I think they're trying to stay too true to their systems, where if they had Levis ranked as a second or third round pick, and they happen to be one of those teams that still wants a quarterback, I think we'll see him go tonight, but it didn't surprise me that he didn't go last night.
Moving things to some Carolina basketball, because a lot of what you cover is UNC stuff, UNC basketball. And, you know, Hubert Davis, they've been kind of busy in the transfer portal. They picked up four guys, Paxson Wojcik out of Brown, Jalen Withers out of Louisville, Cormac Ryan, that was a big one, out of Notre Dame, and not even like 48 hours later, they picked up Harrison Ingram out of Stanford. How would you rate, as somebody who follows it really closely into a detail, how would you rate what Hubert Davis has done so far in the transfer portal, given what happened last year?
Well, I'll put it this way. The Heels are not the only ACC team that has done well in the portal this year, but they're on the short list of those who have done best in the portal. And the reality is Harrison Ingram of Stanford is a double-digit scoring guy who can rebound. He's not an elite three-point shooter, but he's actually a great ball handler at 6'8". Who is a threat offensively in a way that a guy like Leaky Black was not a threat offensively. And he moves the ball well. One of the Heels' biggest problems last season was that they did not move the ball well. They did not create good open shots for each other very often. Well, Harrison Ingram can score himself or move the ball well. Cormac Ryan, formerly of Notre Dame, double-digit scorer. in his case, pretty good three-point shooter, but also a guy who has twice as many assists almost as turnovers. He can move the ball well. There's no black hole that the ball disappears into the way it happened at times for the Tar Heels in recent years. And the young man from the Ivy League, Paxson Wojcik of Brown, you know, that's a guy who can flat out shoot from three-point land. So I think in all four cases, the Tar Heels added value. And in terms of what they lost in the portal, obviously Caleb Love is somebody that some people love and some people didn't like as much. He's a big-time talent and a big-time scorer. But the other guys the Heels lost were really not yet significant players for the Tar Heels. You know, maybe Tyler Nickel becomes that at Virginia Tech, but Justin McCoy was never going to be a big-time player for the Tar Heels. Dontrez Styles did not seem like he was going to develop into that for the Tar Heels. Will Shaver wasn't going to be that. So if you only lose one really high-end player and you sign several impact players, to me, in today's portal world, the bottom line is that's a win for Carolina and a win for Hubert Davis.
Since you did bring him up, I mean, he's probably one of the most polarizing players that's played for Carolina. He certainly has one of the most, if not the most, iconic shot in Carolina history, maybe even college basketball history. It's up there. He's at Michigan now, and, you know, we haven't had you on since the move happened. How do you think he fits over there?
I don't know their roster super, super well, but I'll say this. I believe that both, this might sound contradictory to somebody, but I don't believe it is. I believe this is both addition by subtraction for the Tar Heels, and I think the Wolverines will benefit from Caleb Love. And I understand how that sounds contradictory, but the reality is you have to be not only a talented, productive basketball player, you have to be a good fit for a system, you have to be a good fit for your teammates, and chemistry matters. And for whatever reason, on the court, off the court, you can debate that, R.J. Davis and Caleb Love were not good basketball fits for each other. They just weren't. And I think it's going to benefit the Tar Heels that Davis stayed and Love left. And maybe Caleb Love is a better fit chemistry-wise or system-wise or teammates-wise or however you want to put it. I'm not putting all the blame on Caleb Love. But the reality is he took a lot of really low percentage shots. He did not always play team first basketball. He was often a horrifically bad defender with his mental mistakes and sometimes even his effort. Now, he was also talented and averaged almost 17 points a game last year. So there was some really good to go with the bad. But many of the Tar Heels' biggest problems included Caleb Love contributing to those problems. And I think the Heels are going to be better off with their new mix of personnel, but that doesn't mean the Wolverines won't be able to benefit from, you know, a 6'4" guy who can flat out score, carve his way to the basket, and when his head is right, you know, he's making better decisions, he's unselfish, he's playing harder on defense. That's winning basketball. And Caleb Love was really, really inconsistent with the winning basketball theme, both under Roy Williams and under Hubert Davis.
Last thing I got for you on the way out, DG, because I know you're out that way and, you know, you're a fan, or, you know, you used to go to all the games. I don't know if you still have season tickets or not. Canes, what's their outlook looking now? I mean, they're so pegged with injuries now.
Yeah, I like the Canes to beat the Islanders, right? They're up 3-2. Maybe they take game 6 tonight up on Long Island. But I do have concerns for the reasons that you just implied there. You know, Andrei Svechnikov was lost to injury during the regular season. He's one of their best offensive weapons. Teuvo Teravainen has been injured during the playoffs. He's one of their best offensive weapons. So I love how Antti Raanta has been playing in goal. I love how the 6 defensemen have been mostly reliable. But you can't ask Sebastian Aho to score all your goals. You know, the offensive depth is a real concern for Rod Brind'Amour. And when the competition gets a little tougher, whether it's the Rangers or the Devils or the Bruins down the road, I just don't see a run to the Stanley Cup Finals for this Canes team the way I have believed that they had that in them in some other recent years with Rod Brind'Amour as their head coach.
DG, I appreciate it. I wouldn't want to have anybody else on here on this show today, and You're the man. I hope to see you soon.
I appreciate you, my friend. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And I hope you continue being one of my most established former interns and good friends in my 30 years of having interns, and hopefully some good friends, too.
Places, everyone.
Come on, places, please. We're ready.
Get your morning off to a great start with Jeffrey Griffin on Triad Today. Weekday mornings at 7. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Well, this is a treat.
Woohoo!
Clara Goodwin of Fox 8. Coming in here early.
Oh, anything for you. It is a treat for you, WB.
It's a pleasure to have you in. I'm on my maiden voyage here, 3 hours.
It is such a pleasure to be here. Welcome you in.
Thank you.
Getting you in the hot seat. You're doing great so far.
Yeah, so are the Panthers. The Panthers are doing kind of solid right now.
I would think with the number one pick, you would hope that they were doing well right now, yes.
Like, I don't know. Have you been watching this parade they threw for?
Yes, we went down this morning to the Bryce Young. Is that what you're talking about, the Bryce Young?
Yes, oh, yeah.
The fans. Oh, yeah. They were. I don't know. These fans, they stood out in the rain all day yesterday. I don't know what they did, if they just, like, a lot of them camped out overnight or something. They were all there this morning, too. It is absolutely wild to see what they are doing for this guy. I love it.
It is. I mean, and they deserve it because, like it's a new era for the Panthers. Like, what have they had, like, 7 different quarterbacks in the last 5 or 6 years? Like, is Cam Newton, he was gone, and then it was the Kyle Allen show for, like, 3 weeks. No, you're not from North Carolina originally, correct?
I'm not. I'm from Idaho.
How long have you been covering this area?
I've been here for 3 years now.
Okay. So you kind of came in right at the start of Matt Rhule, maybe?
Correct, yes.
And all that?
That's the thing about this fan base is they haven't had a lot to cheer for in a really long time.
No.
There's been little bursts of excitement, you know, when Cam Newton beat Arizona. There's little times where it's like, oh my gosh, this is happening. But it's always followed by a very, very, very deep downfall.
It is.
And so to have something like this, to actually be excited about, I think that's why they're showing up in such strong numbers and such high excitement, is because this is the first thing they've had in so long, is a number one pick with a great player.
Do you remember those numbers that they were pulling at some of these games, like when Matt Rhule was the coach?
Oh, I remember.
I mean, you were there.
I remember, yes. I saw
pretty
it firsthand.
Spotty.
There was a lot of empties. I was at the 49ers game. I'm from Idaho, so I grew up a 49ers fan. My family's originally from San Francisco. And I remember we were at that 49ers game. I went as a fan to that game, and there was much more red than any other color out there.
Yeah, I get it. It's like I started off the show with this. Like, it's weird to see the Panthers as a competent organization. Like, I'm not sure quite how to handle it. I'm kind of scared. I don't know what to do with my hands.
It's taken a few years, but here we are. I mean, you will never know until the season, of course.
You won't. But, like, I've been talking about this. Like, the situation that they're putting him in, that's a lot better than what Trevor Lawrence got when he went to Jacksonville with Urban Meyer and all that. Like, it was almost like kind of like they did the reverse. Like, a lot of times teams will get the quarterback first and then figure it out. Well, they brought in the coaching staff, the Avenger coaching staff. That's perfect for a quarterback. They brought in Adam Thielen, Hayden Hurst, DJ Chark, Miles Sanders, and just boop. Like Scott Fitter keeps saying, just drop him in there.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah, the other part of that, and I talked to Coach Reich about this yesterday, was that he had mentioned earlier this week he does about 80% of his offenses. He knows what he's going to do. And then about 20% of his offense, it's adaptable to whatever his quarterback brings to the table. And I asked him that last night after they picked Bryce. I said, you know, what does that 20% look like? And it was very clear that Coach Reich had looked at Bryce Young's film with the intention of how he was going to fit into the team. And I think they have a very clear picture of what they want the team to look like and how they are going to accomplish that moving forward.
Well, and listening to him last night, like, it sounded like Bryce does a lot of things that they're like, oh, that's exactly what we wanted to do. So there you go.
And the thing with Bryce as well is, not only is he a talented guy, this is one of the most humble, grateful people I have maybe even ever talked with in my entire career. He sees the opportunity and he knows that he has to earn his spot. He's not quarterback one yet. We all have to remember that. Like,
right.
Is that the expectation? Yes, but he still has to earn the spot. And he knows his role. He knows what he's coming in as, and he knows he has that pressure. But I think he's just a good guy. And
he's
that's
so
something
mature.
Exactly. And that's something that leading a team as a quarterback for an organization that's had a lot of troubles in the past few years. You need someone with a good head on their shoulders who not only has a good arm, but has just an all-around good person as well.
Like, when you listen to him talk, it's like, how can you not? Like, he's almost kind of soft-spoken in a way.
He's definitely wise beyond his years. You got to think about this guy. He's had cameras on him since he was 8 years old. He's been on the best team, the best player for so long that obviously that's something he's very used to. But I do think he knows the stage that he's stepping into. And I think he is ready for the challenge. He knows it's going to be a challenge, but I think he's ready for that.
And one of the things that I thought was interesting when I listened to Scott last night, and Augusta Stone from Panthers.com, she came on with us a couple weeks ago, and she was saying when she went to Alabama for the pro day, she spoke to Scott for a few minutes, and one of the things that he really kind of went in on a little bit was like the dinner that they had and how he just held court. And then last night he kind of went further because, you can talk about some of the things that, you couldn't really say. It's like letting it all out kind of. And he was just talking about how almost every answer he gave was like 10-minute long, thoughtful, detailed. And it was almost like, okay, he actually lives these things. It's not just an answer he gives just to make it sound good.
And that's the thing, is I think you can kind of see through that when someone's trying to talk themselves up. Sometimes people say one thing and then you talk to other people and they say a different thing. And that's another thing that they said too, was we talked to Coach Saban and he could not say one bad thing about Bryce Young. And I've worked with Coach Saban as well before. I used to work in the SEC, and Coach Saban says a lot of bad things about a lot of people, and for him to not say one bad thing about Bryce Young, that is a very, very high accomplishment for Bryce himself.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Well, well, well. We've got a guest on the line, it would seem.
Does he have overalls on by any chance?
According to my sources, the channel I enter Adam Schefter, yes, he has one.
Just a hunch.
Josh Graham, he is the host of this show. And he's at Merlefest. Josh?
For this segment only, I'm the captain now.
Oh,
make
Lord.
An eye contact.
He's
you
trying
don't,
to
you don't
steal
understand
your
the,
seat,
Hold one sec. Hold one sec. Hold one sec. You don't understand the reference to that, do you?
Is that in the movie I just watched last night?
No. Captain Phillips. Tom Hanks.
I was thinking
Did
about...
Did you like Dead Poets, by the way? Did you like Dead Poets?
So we can get... Yeah, we can get into this a little bit. So the movie was good. It was a good movie. Wasn't really my speed.
I understand why you thought that last reference, by the way, was a reference to Dead Poets. I'm not standing on a table right now trying to pledge allegiance to you right now. That's not what we're doing. But I can confirm that I am wearing overalls, but there's been a weather situation the last hour or so. So we've been indoors. I've been texting meteorologists and they've been telling me we're good and we should be hearing music shortly. Hopefully, Clara doesn't deal with the same problems at the Taylor Swift show this weekend.
Oh, hey, that is in a covered dome. It is in Mercedes-Benz. We are good. My hair might get a little messy walking from the parking lot over, but the
All right,
sequins
what's the,
should
what's
stay
the
strong.
What's the wardrobe going to be, though? What's the wardrobe
oh,
going to be
got
for the
full,
Taylor Swift show?
You know, if you know anything about me, I'm a sequin girly. My Taco Bell wedding was all sequins. Any chance I can wear sequins, I go all out. So I've got... these bell-bottom pants, they are black with silver stars, all sequins. I've got a little black crop top. It has feathers, sequins, stars, black, silver, stars, sequins. Amazing. Midnights, very midnights for all my Taylor people out there. It's a very midnights thing. And the best part, my husband's coming with me. And if you are a Taylor fan, she has a song that Josh Graham loves called Karma. The lyric says, Karma is my boyfriend. And so my husband's wearing a little shirt that says Karma. We'll say Karma's my husband. I'm doing a little play on words here, that's the most I could get him to do. So we're trying.
If I was hosting this show, I would do a Karma is a Cat Carolina Panthers transition, but I'm not. I'm instead being a bad guest by hijacking this interview. I'm sorry, WD.
I mean, listen, I wouldn't expect anything else.
Anytime I can talk about Taylor, I'll take it.
Listen.
Need to hijack the interview or be a bad guest or yes.
Hijack the interview, Howard Stern style. Totally. No, we've kept the train on the tracks today, man. We really have.
WD's doing good. He's coming out to steal your job, Josh.
Trying to hold it together here. So,
well, let's just put it this way. The overalls, I haven't worn. Maybe the reason I don't wear overalls is because when I was a small child, my mom apparently dressed me in overalls all the time. And I didn't realize
Josh
this.
Is like trauma dumping on us now.
First girlfriend brought home, looked at some of the old photos, as you do, and I just realized every other photo was me in overalls. So kind of like being a kid who in high school had a uniform that was just a navy shirt, khaki pants, and, you know, like a belt. I didn't wear that getup. I mean, that combination's perfectly fine, but I didn't wear that getup all 4 years that I was in college because I wanted to rebel out of that a little bit. So I think this might be the first time I've worn overalls since that realization with my first girlfriend back at home, like looking at all those pictures. And what I'm telling you is I think I might have been ignorant here because these are comfortable. Like I don't want to get too detailed here, but they're like you don't have to wear shorts underneath the overalls, and it's comfortable.
So back to any other subject.
I've never worn overalls, so I have nothing to contribute to this.
I'm just saying I have more respect. I might have rolled my eyes at the folks who wore overalls before who were not in a working context. Like, hey, why are you wearing overalls? Now I respect it in a way I didn't prior to today because these overalls are comfortable. Like, I might actually wear these overalls in a setting that's not Merlefest moving forward. In a sense, I almost feel like I'm wearing a big diaper. It's comfortable. It's really comfortable.
Are you going to show up?
Well, that just took a dramatic turn.
Are you going to show up Monday to this set wearing overalls to do the show? Is that what you're getting?
No, I just bought myself an overpriced David Brothers.
See, Connor said.
Are you going to go to some Panthers games in the overalls?
Now we're talking.
Oh, Lord.
Like,
meet Bryce Young in them?
I might go.
Get Bryce Young a pair. You guys can be matching.
You got the two straps here. Like, I might go one strap off and then see if Bryce Young appreciates the style. I know he's a big style guy. Like, he had the nice suit on today I saw yesterday, had the open jacket. He was rocking it. Like, you know, he might appreciate the style a bit. You know how things could be in these media rooms, Clara and Will. Like, you know, everybody kind of looks the same. I think we could, especially here in the South, make some room to normalize comfort wear, and I think Southern comfort wear is best epitomized with wearing, you know, overalls.
That's definitely an opinion, Josh.
So I was explaining to her about Kyle the Amazon driver and how he basically made a fat head of your face screenshot when you say Boston College. I don't have my buttons today, so we're having to
Boston College.
Yeah, we're having to improv here.
It's
with
me.
This.
I'm the button.
I have like a running list. I don't know the last time I've updated my resume because I've been on this job for like 5 years and things are going well. I probably should update it after this segment because of how poorly things are going and how the topics that I'm diving into. But, you know, I think pretty close to the top of the list, pizza named after you. Shout out to Pie Guys Pizza and Clemens, the Graham Slam. That's pretty high up on the list. But pretty close to the top of that list, too, is somebody, a listener, getting a fat head of you, of your face. And he wanted, apparently his goal was to take it to an FS1 broadcasted PBA bowling event and to be in the front row holding up that face just to confuse people. Like, no one would get it except everybody who listens to this show. But, you know, I still think I should put that pretty high up on the resume, don't you think?
Josh, how does it feel to know that you're just constantly sitting like in someone's man cave and just always staring? You're always there.
Oh, it's comfort.
I think
comfort.
He likes it.
It just makes me feel a special kind of way. A better question. That'd be a better question for my wife.
Oh boy.
To be honest. Like, it's fine. It's fine with me. I'm comfortable with it. I don't know how Sarah Bradford feels about, you know, some dude's face, my face in some dude's, you know, man cave.
Granted, the face you're making,
we haven't talked about it.
I'm not sure if it's the most, I'm not sure if it's something she should be exactly concerned about. But I won't speak for.
There it is. DJ Turner coming up in the clutch. Wow.
Next up on the drive, what media person's face would you like blown up in your man cave?
Boston College.
Also, why do we need to call it a man cave? Like,
I call
Clara
it a man
could
cave.
Have a. a basement with a lot of stuff in there. And
no, that's a she shed.
As a man cave. It's a shed?
It's a she shed.
Oh, a she shed.
Yeah,
wow.
It's a she shed.
This is a sports radio show, everybody.
No, well, this is a very important topic. Like trying
man
to figure
caves.
Out.
I agree.
Whose face? See, there's the title of the podcast. She said. She
thank
shed.
You, Clara.
See,
you gave us her title.
She said.
I can't say it. It's
she
tough.
Said in the yeah, she I, shed.
Uh-oh. I just got a text from Sarah Bradford. What is this? She heard her name.
Yeah, the Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
Sarah Bradford, since you are listening, I would like to know
how what did you say?
You feel, if she's still listening, I would love to know how you feel about your husband's face being blown up and put in someone's man cave.
She must be watching
where
the video.
He is constantly
my Apple Watch is vibrating
staring
right now.
At everyone.
I think I'm being too
she's messaging us and Josh and I in her group chat.
I
apparently.
Need to know her thoughts on that. Depending,
let me
I feel
Apple
like
Watch.
I would be.
Oh, stop talking about me, you idiot. Okay. Oh,
I'm reversing the rules. I feel like I would be okay with someone taking. Well, it depends on the context. I think in this context, I think it's okay.
That's true. Well played.
Oh, Ben McAdoo making an appearance. Boy,
I want.
He seems ancient now.
Face in my man cave. That's what I want. Like, I'm thinking media people's face, Charles Barkley's face in my man cave. That sounds good. Yeah.
Charles
just,
Barkley.
Just thinking out loud on this.
Okay. We can. Are you going to get on that WD? Are you going to put it here in the WSJS studios?
We might.
Or are you just going to start having media personalities lining the walls?
Was it Kyle that made that
Clara
suggestion
Goodwin.
Or did you?
Let me make sure I cover all the local bases. Clara Goodwin's face.
I better be
Maybe
number one. Put
Lainey,
me next to Taylor.
Lainey Pope. We can put somewhere. Like, I mean. We could figure it out. Amanda Ferguson. I don't know. Brian Hall, even though I know he's not in front of the camera.
Don't forget Lauren Walsh.
Lauren Walsh.
Gotta get her in here.
To Lauren too. We're all friends around here. We're all friends.
It's one big neighborhood.
We at least say we are. Ba-ba-bum.
By the way, Jeffrey loved my budget blinds earlier today. I'll have you know. So.
I was worried about that.
I don't know why.
That was a concern.
You need to rest easy at night.
Let me ask you this honest question.
Yes.
Well, I know you're supposed to be the one asking the question, but I'll ask
it
you.
It is.
Anyway.
It's kind of a weird dynamic.
It is.
I don't know what
really
to do.
What part of the job, sitting in the chair that you're in right now, did you not have an appreciation for or as much of an appreciation for until you've been in it the last 2.5 hours?
Definitely the clock management.
Have you been like Andy Reid? Is it like bad clock management? Like, what's been going on?
It's like Tom Brady holding up the four. Like, I don't know what
day. No, I'm Tom Brady. I'm Brady with
there
my
you
clock
go.
Management.
There you go. No,
I'm great in the
that, that's drill. A statement there, Josh.
This was interesting because, I mean, this is the first show I've hosted of any kind. And it was more so like making sure I had enough prepped, but I didn't want to over-prepped and then I'm reading off of something. Like, I still wanted to be like, you know, spitting it off the cuff like I like to do, but... It was new, and you know what? I enjoyed it. I think we did okay today, Clara.
I think
this.
You did okay.
It was.
It's a different vibe to the show.
It is. I kind of like it.
Let's do it all again and wear overalls.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, see, I'm not sticking around for Rhinestone Cowboy, but...
Yeah, we're going to sing.
I know that's coming up.
And also,
coming up.
I'm gonna very quickly in the next segment, as much time as we have, I'd like to get Clara's reactions to some of our drafts this week because she saw
Ooh.
I was kind of... that's kind of what I had in mind.
I have very intense opinions on the drafts.
She's got something to say to me, apparently.
Do you have them pulled up?
Come on now. You know that. You know who specifically she wanted to talk about. Music festival.
I agreed to this because I think WD is great, and I really enjoy being around him. He's a great friend. I saw his music festival draft, and I was...
I've got it up.
It felt like a personal attack.
Hey, there's the face.
It felt like a personal attack against me. Not only
whoa.
Did
getting cut deep.
Josh, it does. Josh goes out here. He gets Taylor, of course. I mean, why wouldn't you?
I had the first overall pick.
He follows it with Harry Styles, the only number two ever imagined. If someone picks Taylor Swift number one, you do not go Lil Wayne. Harry Styles is the obvious number two.
Mm-hmm.
You're just pitching softballs here to Josh. You're not even challenging him.
What do you think of my draft?
Clearly
he doesn't like it.
Beyonce. Sure. I'm a Beyonce. Beyonce is great. I cannot believe Beyonce was taken that late in the game. Beyonce's a clear number three.
You can't be in multiple hives. You can't be in the Beehive and also a Swiftie.
Sure you can.
Both.
Oh, that's weird because I have tickets to both those concerts.
Would you look at
Josh?
Well, you can go to both, but reside in one hive.
He tries to make these rules.
Okay, that's why I said Beyonce's a clear number three. Taylor's one always. Put her up against anyone. She's going to win. Harry's number two. Beyonce, number three. Outkast was the most out of left field pick I think I've ever seen in my life.
The Luke Combs was good on my part, right?
I'm not a country girl, but a lot of people would agree with you.
Correct.
He's coming to Charlotte as well, I know, right?
Yeah, because David Tepper brought concerts back to Charlotte.
He didn't bring Taylor.
Well, speaking of clock management, I should probably hit a break. What do you think of that, Josh?
We got to sing Rhinestone Cowboy.
I'm looking at the time. We're getting about to that point.
Yeah, we got to sing.
I've warmed up my vocal cords.
There you
go. Getting ready for the concert this weekend.
All right, Josh. We'll talk Monday, all right?
All right. See you guys. And oh yeah, sorry.
Sing loud tonight.
Sorry about that.
Oh, there he goes. The host of this show, Josh Graham.
Not today. You're the host, WD.
Yes, I am. And we're going to sing some Rhinestone Cowboy. We've got Clara Goodwin with us in studio. She's been hanging out with us for the last hour.
We'll do some vocal warm-ups during the commercial.
We will.
Check this out.
We're on at 5.
The perfect blend of sports and pop culture happens this evening at 6 with the Rich Eisen Show.
Okay, let's get this show rolling. Hit it.
Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Oh my.
Is this a sing along? Am I supposed to? Can I?
If you'd like to.
I might save the vocal cords for when I'm sobbing to this song.
Oh no.
In the weekend. This is the closing song of her concert, so I know I will be in hysterics.
This is something we don't do. Like, we always play Rhinestone Cowboy on Fridays, except for the one time I forgot because it was just such a long day. And, like, I was just like, you know how when you're just like in autopilot.
That's when you needed it the most.
Like,
that's when you need it. I played some
Linkin Park song, just go. And Josh looks at me and like shakes his head at me. And I'm like, what?
The Rhinestone Cowboy is always there for you. You never betray it.
Speak of the devil. It's been a fun show.
You're doing great. I am so proud of you. You do good at everything you do, but see you in the sea. You're a natural, Will.
I appreciate that. We've had Clara Goodwin in here. We've had Connor O'Neill. We've had DJ Turner in here for the last 30 minutes.
And an appearance from Josh Graham.
I got to give people flowers, like a Miley Cyrus giving herself flowers. Or she does them up. I don't know. I've never sung this without Josh before.
Oh, don't worry. So you'll never want to after this.
It's coming up.
It's coming up.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Like a rhinestone cowboy. Riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone
Getting
cards and letters from people I don't even know. And offers coming over the phone.
My voice cracked.
Those offers are coming for you sitting in the hot seat.
They're coming and I'm taking it to the house.
Wow, that was quick.
Past the 15, past the 10, past the 5.
Hey, we're ready to go home.
We'll take it to the house.
1, 2, 3.
And Take It to the House is, of course, brought to you by East Coast Wings and Grill. We've got one, like, I'm starving. So I might have to roll up there now. I mean, they're right here in downtown Kernersville where we are. They also have locations in Burlington and Lexington, Charlotte, Winston-Salem. They got the best wings. They got burgers, too, though. So if wings aren't your thing, did I rhyme there?
They've got it all.
They've got it all. They got burgers. They got salads. I like the buffalo salad. And they're a great place to go watch the second round of the NFL draft tonight. How about that? So on this Take It to the House story, we're talking about bears. We're going to Nevada.
Hey, bear.
Hey, bear.
We are very animal heavy today. I appreciate it.
This is actually our regular show. Bear heavy and Florida man heavy.
Donovan!
Have you, you know what that is?
You're doing wonderful.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
So the roles were reversed for this bear. Usually the bears are the one terrorizing us.
Okay.
Unless your name's Josh Graham, but they don't do that.
I personally have never been terrorized by a bear, but I know others have.
So this bear got stranded in a tree in Nevada.
Poor bear. What's a bear doing in Nevada?
I have no idea.
That does not
Do bears
seem
not
like...
go to Nevada?
Gambling.
Oh.
He was just walking down the strip, you know? That's all he wanted.
It's a bear poker hand.
A bear poker hand. Well, they had to use some type of... they had to use some type of tarp or tranquilizer tarp to get this thing down. The fire department is there up in the tree trying to get it out. I've never seen a... It's like a cat.
So is that someone's house? He's at a tree at someone's house?
It looks like somebody's house. Like, there's the little picket fence on the side.
Can you imagine waking up...
I see what they did. The tarp is under the tree, and they're trying to get the bear to, like...
To come down,
come
to
down
jump.
Come down out of it.
It's like a big trampoline.
No, come that's, on, after, no, that's after they tranquilize him. They're catching him.
Oh.
Oh, that just that's took the whole a very
You've never
term.
Seen this before?
No.
It's awful. It's awful to watch.
Oh, no.
You've I was never... thinking, like, cute little childhood trampolines, and we went straight to tranquilizing.
No, they're down there holding a trampoline. It's to ease the fall. But there's nothing they can do once they tranquilize the bear. He's just going to pass out and fall out of the tree. So they're basically breaking his fall.
This took a twist.
I like the picture of a bear jumping up and down and
I
just
do
having a good old time a little better.
I did a story, one of these stories actually, because bears. I found one where this lady looked out in her backyard and found five bears in her backyard, four of which were jumping up and down on the trampoline, and then the fifth bear was, like, just looking, like, seeing what they were doing.
Hey, boo-boo.
How did the trampoline hold all that weight?
I don't know, but...
They're just having a good time. Come on, everyone loves a nice little trampoline jump every once in a while, you know?
I'm trying to remember where this was located at.
Probably Florida. Yeah.
Boy. What a day it's been. Talk to Connor O'Neill, talk to David Glenn. Me and Clara Goodwin sang.
WD in the hot seat, killing the game.
It was. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night trying to get ready for this thing, but
we'll sleep well tonight.
We made it through. I appreciate everybody who came out to Steel Hands last night and said hello to us. Thank you for everybody who listened. Congrats to all our ticket winners. And we're going to do it again on a Monday drive right here on WSJS.